work for God in there. And we saw their new building, and it's right next to our house, which I was surprised. I was like, I didn't know you guys moved. And so they're very close to our house. But, man, God's going to do great work in Spring Valley. Amen. Keep that church in prayer, amen. And as God's going to do great work, amen. I was thinking about a word, amen. I went to men's discipleship last week, and he spoke a sermon that spoke to my heart. And I wanted to relate almost the same message to our hearts, amen. And I titled this sermon, and I decided to just make my own, amen. Took a couple of things that he said. I was like, amen, you see, in the message, I put your clap, and I'm going to put it in the sermon, amen, which it was pretty good. I found it very nourishing to my soul. And I want to minister a sermon, amen, I titled, Do Not Enter the Gate Called Unthankfulness. Do not enter into the gate called unthankfulness. And I was thinking, Jesus, you know, told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And oftentimes we think about gates. We think about, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, I think about gates. I think about the medieval times. Had they had gates upon their cities, the gates upon their castles. But in biblical times, this was an area in front of the city where justice was handled, where they would make decisions by the leaders of the city. They would come and to bring their case before the leaders, and they would make their decisions. Today we take it to the Supreme Court or the courts today. We don't have gates in our cities. We don't have walls around our cities. But Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians 10. He said that our weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but they are powerful through God for the pulling down of strongholds in our minds. He's talking about these gates that are held in our minds, these places where reason happens, where the thinking process happens, where our decisions happens that they play out in our lives. And the devil will try to set up a stronghold in your mind, a gate in your soul for you to enter and to settle called unthankfulness. And I like to minister this sermon, amen, called Do Not Enter the Gate Called Unthankfulness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for you, what you have gathered here together, God, to hear your word. Lord, you may move, oh God, in the hearts of your people, God. Let your words sink into our hearts, germinate, God, bear root and fruit, God, and fruit to your glory, God. Help us heed to what you have stuff to say to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. I must admit, amen, for the longest time, when I was thinking about the original sin, pride. Pride is often called the original sin. You know, Satan, when he fell, is because the pride of his heart. And so it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, where in the Garden of Eden, you see Adam and Eve and the devil. And see, he tempted them with something. He said, if you want to know the knowledge of good and evil, you got to eat of that fruit. And verse 15 of chapter 3, he says, if you want to know, then to have this good and evil and to be like gods, eat of this fruit. It was the pride of life. But I started thinking about it a bit more. There has to be a condition in the heart, a thing that takes place before pride, before disobedience, which starts to give birth to one's life and is called unthankfulness. Adam and Eve, they should have stepped back and said, I'm thankful for what God gave me. I thank you for this earth that God gave me to be dominion, to have dominion after of. And you think about Satan and his glorious being, unthankful before he began puffed up with pride. Unthankful for the beauty that God gave him. Unthankful for the position he gave him. A light bearer, being so close to the throne, having authority over angels. Before pride happened, there was an unthankfulness in his heart. He couldn't be happy with just the position he had. He couldn't be happy, but no, he wanted more. He wanted to be like the Most High. He couldn't be happy of just being an angel. It started in the heart, perhaps even in the mind. And Christians can start being unthankful in their walk with Christ if they're not careful. Unthankfulness could creep into the heart. It could settle in your heart. It could settle in your mind. And it could lead you astray. Children can be unthankful for godly parents that God gave them. Bosses could be unthankful for the employees that they gave them, that employees work for them. And people could be unthankful that they live in America. You see it all the time. This area of unthankfulness can spread through all our areas of our lives. It can affect your whole life. And it's not like a secret sin. You can see people who are thankful and unthankful. Amen? And I like to talk about the story where Jesus highlighted this area. And it's found in Luke chapter 17. And it's the story of the 10 leopards. And it's the only story in the Bible that talks about this. The 10 lepers. And it's found in Luke. But only one came back to give thanks to God. Let's read. And as they traveled to Jerusalem, he passed through Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village, and the men with serious skin disease met him. They were leprosies. They were leopards. And they stood at a distance because they couldn't approach. They had to stay their distance. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he told them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and gave glory to God, gave thanks to God. And he fell down at his feet and thanked them. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said to him, "Were not cleansed? Were there not nine that were cleansed, that they did not return to give God glory except for this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Sorry, I put that twice. A Samaritan, the unlikely one. And Jesus likes to use the unlikely ones to prove his point sometimes. Amen. And there is nine of them. There are most likely nine Jews. Because he pointed out the Samaritan. And there were enemies. The Samaritans didn't like Jews, and Jews didn't like Samaritans. And you know about the gospel? There was like the one that Jesus pointed out, the parable of the Samaritan man that helped the wounded man on the road. But there was a priest that passed by. There was a Levite that passed by. The both priests and Levite, they were both Jews. They lacked compassion. They just passed by. And here, Jesus, the Jews and the Samaritan, again to point out even the more their unthankfulness. So you see, lepers, when you get leprosy, it changes your life. And it's a gradual disease. It doesn't like it's night and day. It's a gradual disease. They were outcasts. They're rejected. Unclean. They lost their family connections. They had to stay outside the city. If they were to go inside the city, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and people had to move away from them. They were at the bottom of their life. Their body decaying away. They smelled. They lose fingers. They lose fingertips. They lose toes. They're often the first ones to go. Often then their nose. Then their limbs. They usually look hideous to look at. And they cried out, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on us." It's like Barnabas, the blind man. He cried out, if you remember what he said. He said, "Son of God, have mercy on me. Son of Jesse, have mercy on me." It's like the tax collector who cried out for mercy when he's asking for forgiveness. And there was a Pharisee right next to him who said, "I thank God I'm not like this man." But the tax collector who cried out for mercy. See, there's many people who ask God for mercy and got it. But there's a very few people who came back to thank them and give them glory. Amen. You break this up mathematically, you know, 1 out of 10, what's the mathematical? That's 10%. Only 10% came back. Jews thought leprosy was a disease that was inflicted by some type of punishment or a mark of God's displeasure. Maybe they got this idea when God struck Miriam, Moses' sister. Miriam didn't like Moses' new wife. She probably said, oh, I don't like her. You know, she's not going to be my sister-in-law. He didn't like that. She didn't like that. And there was drama in the family. But he married her anyway, and God punished her with leprosy. And Moses, he pleaded before God. He said, God, don't let her be outcast. Don't let her be unclean for the rest of her life. And God healed her, but he said, you know what? She got to be unclean for at least 7 days so she will know her sin. Not to complain, but to be thankful. And there's a pattern if you know the Bible of King Uzziah. He was struck with leprosy. He was a king, but he was a king that was trying to be a priest. He was unthankful for his position, full of pride. And he went before the temple. He was trying to burn incense before the Lord. But kings don't do that. It was only reserved for the priests. But he was pulled up in pride. He bust up to open the doors. And when he was trying to burn incense, God struck him with leprosy. And he became a leper for the rest of his life. He had to be humbled. He couldn't be thankful for just being a king. I mean, a king. I mean, you have riches, you have royalty, you have authority, you have position. But he wanted more. I could imagine, you know, his disciples, Jesus, you know, informing Jesus, you know, thinking, you know, Jesus, there's 10 lepers down there. We should probably should take a different route, a different road, Jesus. We don't want to get close to them. But we know Jesus always knows what he's doing, amen? He knows where he's going. He was going to teach them a lesson. And they saw Jesus and they asked for the right thing from God. Have mercy on us, Lord. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. See, Jesus didn't heal them right then and there. It wasn't an instant miracle. It was a miracle as they went, as they were walking to where they were supposed to be going. This was a trial of their obedience. Would they listen? Would they listen to what he says? It reminds me of the story of Naaman. If you know Naaman, he was a Syrian general. The general of an enemy to Israel. And Naaman, he caught word or he caught wind that the prophet of God could do miracles, that he could heal him of leprosy. So he made his way to Israel in a peaceful journey. And he went to find the prophet of God. But he thought he would see him face to face. But the prophet of God told him, sent his servant and told Naaman, go dip yourself in the river of Jordan 7 times. It was a trial of obedience. Would he listen to the advice? Would he listen to the words of the prophet? But you read the story. He didn't want to listen to it at first. He was puffed up with pride. He said, of all the rivers around us, why does it have to be the Jordan? The most dirtiest river of all. But it had to be one of his servants who had to reason with him in his mind. He said, you know, if this prophet of God told you to go climb a mountain and do a sacrifice there, would you do it? He said, of course I would. But why won't you just do something so simple? Go dip yourself in the river. And thank God for that servant. His servant's pretty much saying, just go and do it. Be thankful that there's hope. When he goes to the river, you could imagine being a general. You know, he's decked out, you know. He decked out with his uniform, decked out in his armor. But to be healed, to go into the river, to be dipped, he had to take off his uniform. He had to take off all those decorations of his medal. He had to humble himself before his army. He had to let his army know that I am a man of leprosy. I am a leper. Maybe he was concealing this before everybody. Maybe that's what the reason why he got angry, because he didn't want to humble himself, show himself that he was a leper. He was trying to maybe hide it. But now he had to listen to the advice of God, the prophet of God, to go humble yourself, dip yourself in the river. And he did. And the Bible says that his skin became like a child. That soft skin, that good looking skin, it was on him. He was healed. Thank God. He was thankful afterwards. And he wanted to bless the prophet of God, but the prophet of God said, no, this miracle was done on God's behalf. I'm not going to take no blessing. But it shows his heart that he became thankful afterwards. A shift. And you notice in verse 14, it says this. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Meaning that they didn't have to wait to go to the priest to tell them, oh yeah, you are cleansed. They realized as they were going, they started noticing their skin changing. They started feeling the change upon their body. They knew it themselves. They saw it themselves. But the nine just kept on going. The nine just kept on going with their lives. No doubt they were shouting for joy. But only one of them had enough reason, had enough sense to go back to say thank you for the one that healed them. Look at verse 15. It said, one of them saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice to glorify God. This was the right response Jesus was looking for. Let me ask you a question. When God does a miracle in your life, when he does a work of deliverance, what do you do? Do we turn back to thank God, to glorify him? Or do we just continue with life? Do you go back in prayer to give him thanks, to give him glory? Or is it just a one-time thing you do in front of when you pray for food? God, I thank you for my food. And that's the only time you give God thanks. Is that the only time you give God thanks? See, a thankful heart can take you a long way in life. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said to Timothy, he told him this. He said, Timothy, know this. That in the last days, perilous times will come upon you. Upon this generation. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. And unthankful. You see, unthankfulness could affect a generation. It's a sign of the last days. A sign that people will be thankless. It will be common. It will be everywhere. It will be like the majority. Can you agree with me that today you see that happening? Notice how Jesus marveled at the other nine. The majority. That they did not return. You will figure they will come back and say, at least say thank you. At least say thank you. I mean, if you're not a believer in me, you don't have to glorify me, but say thank you. See, the bodies were healed, but they had a sick heart. They didn't have a thankful heart. A true thankful heart will start being thankful for the small things in life. And it will continue when God prospers your life. If it doesn't, then pride happens, as you see. Thankfulness is like the salt to our food. Salt, if you don't know salt, salt is like a preservative to food. It makes it last longer. And when you add it to food, it makes it last longer. And thankfulness is like the preservative to your faith. It makes you last longer. It carries you through tough times and blessed times. But unthankfulness rottens your faith. Unthankfulness rottens your faith. It's a chemical that releases and it affects your faith. And it affects your faith. This is how it affects your faith. It makes you stop having faith. Because you're unthankful. You start living a different life. It's deadly. It's dangerous. That's why you don't want to enter into this stronghold. You don't want to enter into this gate, into this mindset. It's something that we have to teach our children. Because it doesn't come natural. We're all kids at one point in our lives. But, you know, I have kids and it's easy to point out to my kids, you know, you guys are just not unthankful, man. Hey, we're all parents, man. We gotta get that little attitude now, man, you little kids. Man. But it's not natural. You have to teach it to your children. My wife and I, we teach our kids to be thankful, man. Because, you know, they're very blessed. Our children are very blessed. They don't realize how far worse of a situation they could be in. because God had blessed my life and blessed my wife's life, now they're blessed. But they don't know how to live in, what it's like to live in poverty. I mean, think, they live in America, first of all. You know, most American people are pretty well off compared to other people. My wife was in the Philippines. She was raised in the Philippines. They didn't have everything in the Philippines. She tell me stories where they go hungry sometimes. And my kids, they're thankful for the foods that they have on their tables. Amen. I work hard for that food. Amen. I work hard to put that roof over their heads. I have to remind them sometimes, amen, to be thankful. Amen. But even as adults, we have to remind ourselves to be thankful. And sermons like this helps us. The children of Israel, if you think about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, they were unthankful. When God provided manna for them every day, they wanted meat. They started looking back when what they don't have. They started looking back, man, we don't have no meat. Remember when we were in Egypt, when we had all this food and stuff? Oh, but forget how they treated us. Forget how they were enslaved. They wanted more. The desire to have more or better what you need. And they eventually start looking around. Unthankful for God that delivered them from Egypt. That they've been enslaved for years. Unthankful for God provided them for in the desert. Unthankful when God turned the bitter waters to drinking water. They just forget. That's why you have to be reminded. Unthankful for when God gave them Moses, a righteous leader, a good leader. But they often didn't listen to him. There was all contention. And I feel for Moses because he could only handle so much. And it caused them to sin one time. God told him, go speak to the rock. But it was all building up, you know. He's like, you unthankful people, I'm going to... And he struck the rock. That came from his heart. He's like, man... I could feel it, you know, sometimes, how Moses felt. See, the danger of ingratitude or unthankfulness affects the majority. It could spread in the church. It could spread in your family. It could spread in the company. It could spread in the nation. It could spread in the generation. It spreads. And this would concern Jesus. And it ought to cause us to search our own hearts. Examine our own selves. Are there any areas of unthankfulness in your life? I've seen people who receive miracles, God's mercy upon their lives, but they're no longer in church today because they lost sight of this. I heard testimonies where people said, I should have been dead if it wasn't for God. But they're not thankful for the church. I met one yesterday. I was talking to a man. He's like, I believe in God, but I don't want to do church. And I didn't want to argue with him. I just, you know what? Listen, man, the church is there to help you. He was unthankful, though. Maybe he was hurt. I don't know. But I didn't want to argue with him. I just told him, you know, God's there. Here's the invitation. Let me ask you one more question, man. What do we call food when it's gone bad? What do we call food that's gone bad? It starts with an S. Spoiled. I just put that, start with an S in there because I don't want somebody to say bad food. That's what we call it. No, we call it. It's called spoiled, amen. Spoiled with the S, amen. What do we call children who are ungrateful? Spoiled. And what do we call Christians that are ungrateful? Spoiled. It's because you can see it and you can smell it. It's in the air. It's spoiled. We can preach how much people need the need that they need to be delivered from porn or alcohol or drugs, but we need to be delivered from unthankfulness as well. Romans 1:21, it says this. Paul preaching to the Roman church, he said, For although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or gave him thanks, but became futile in their thoughts and their senseless hearts were darkened. And I read this verse. I was like, you know, this is a perfect example of the 10 leopards. Oh, they knew God. They knew Jesus could heal them. They knew he was the only hope. But they did not glorify him. They did not return to give him thanks. So what happens? Their thoughts become futile and their hearts become darkened. Proverbs 17 verse 1 says this. It says, and better is a dry morsel of food served with quietness and peace than a house full of feasting served with strife and contention. Do you know who wrote this psalm? I mean this proverb? Solomon. Solomon wrote this. And you know anything about Solomon? He was a king. He did not know a day in his life about poverty. He was birthed into royalty. He had the finest clothes. He had the best choice of foods. But I wonder if one day he was passing by and he saw a poor family who had only a little bit of food on their table. And they were thankful. And maybe perhaps he was reflecting upon his own situation, his own family, where they had all this to abundance, food to choose from, food always on the table. But there is always bickering and there is always debating who was going to be the next king. Because David didn't decide who was going to be the next king until he was close to death. And you see, throughout time, you know, sons will contend against themselves. No, I'm going to be the king. No, the throne is mine. Unthankful. Pride. They go together. But let's talk about how we can be thankful. Amen. Let's talk about how we can be thankful and live out thankful lives. I first want to talk about, we can start with our prayer life. We can start being thankful with God in prayer. You know, you thank God for his love. Thank God for your family. Thank God for the job that you have right now. Thank God for the income you have right now. Thank God for your brothers and sisters in church. Thank God for your pastor. I just want to throw that in there, you know. But just being thankful that you have life. Man, I read articles, man, in the news, you know, that people lose their lives every day. You know, I'm thankful, man. God gave me 41 years. I'm thankful for my brothers. I'm thankful for my mom and dad. You know, just humbling yourself, thinking and thanking the Lord what he has given you. And secondly, make it a habit. Make it a habit of saying thank you throughout your life. Every day, you know. You know, start with prayer, but, you know, say thank you to one another. You know, say, you know, when you go to a drive-thru, say thank you. You know, if you ever go through Chick-fil-A, they have one of the best customer service. When I say thank you, they say, my pleasure. I'm like, thank you, man. I like that, you know. More companies need to adopt that right there, you know. But you could tell they teach their employees how to be thankful for their business, for the customer's business. Say thank you to your boss. You know, it might sound weirdy, but what are you asking for here? You want a raise or something? Yeah, I do want a raise, in fact, you know. But, you know, just be thankful to your boss, you know. Something about being thankful for the authority that you're under catches God's attention. Thankfulness is not limited to words, but it does involve words. Only two. Thank you, you know, just say thank you. If you can't say two words, say it in Spanish, gracias, you know, one word, you know, adopt that, you know. But thirdly, thank the Lord for the food you eat. This is highlighted when Jesus blessed the 5,000, the 4,000, you know, with the loaves and fishes. He thanked the Lord, he blessed his Father, thank you. And he blessed the food. And we could adopt that in our lives, where God just gives us our daily needs. Thank the Lord. And, you know, just a small prayer. You don't have to go, you know, 5 minutes. I mean, you know, it doesn't take no 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute, you know, to be thankful. You don't have to go deep into it. But just reflecting before you chow down on that food. Thank the Lord that you're able to give something. You know, I talked about last week, you know, what's 10% of zero? Zero. Yeah. Be thankful that you're able to give something to the Lord. Just the small things, you know, grow in that area as well. A cheerful heart fills the day with songs, but a downcast heart will fill the day with complaint and criticism. Take that away and be thankful. Be cheerful, man. You can always find ways to be thankful, even when trouble happens. Because it's a condition of the heart, not of circumstance. It's the condition of your heart. Jesus said, lastly, he said, your faith has made you well. Meaning, being thankful that God saved you from your sins can strengthen your faith and continue to live for him. When you are thankful, it strengthens your faith to continue to live for him. This condition of the heart, which the nine didn't have. Their bodies were healed, but they had sick hearts. These lepers, they failed to realize that they had to stand afar off. They couldn't approach people. They had to, like I said, shout unclean when they're going around people. And we can look upon that. We were once afar from God, dead in our sins. But Christ, he did a work on the cross that he died on for us, shed his blood for us, that we could come near to him. And we can make us clean to forgive us our sins because the work that he did on the cross. And that in itself is enough to be thankful. Keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And thankfulness can catch the attention of God. I'd like to close with this last passage. And it's the King Hezekiah. It says this: in those days, Hezekiah was stricken with a terminal illness. And he prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a sign of confirming that he will be healed. But in time, Hezekiah became ungrateful. And he had a proud attitude and provoked God to be angry with him, as well with Judah and Jerusalem. But Hezekiah and the residents of Jerusalem humbled themselves and abandoned their pride. And the Lord was not angry with them for the rest of his days of Hezekiah's reign. Meaning this, that we could change our attitude. We could change today from being unthankful to being thankful sons and daughters of God. Amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. As we God, we thank you, God, for your goodness. Amen. And praise. Amen. Let's have every head bowed, eyes closed. Amen. As we subside in prayer. Amen.